Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training.
Most people don't realize that the biggest issue is not building the list, is actually mailing the list. A list is almost like a guarantee a new project you're going to be launching is going to be successful, because for sure, these people know you, like you, trust you, and they want to buy stuff. So an email customer will come into your store, let's say once a day for a month, and they'll spend $20. And a social media subscriber will frequent your store for 30 days. Like, well, they'll come in once a day, but they'll only buy something one time in that time span, and they'll spend $1.
Hey, Chandler Volt here, and joining me today is Igor Kafets. He's the world's highest paid email marketer. He specializes in helping people break the link between time and income through email marketing. And he's also written a book, maybe you've heard of it, it's called List Building Lifestyle, Confessions of an Email Millionaire. So kind of really cut his teeth, earned his stripes, whatever you want to call it, in both email marketing and affiliate marketing. So the intersection of both. And so we'll be able to weave some of both of those things in here. So that's what we're really going to be talking about. Email marketing. What is it? How do you do it? Why is it important? Why is it important as an author? And then we might even get into some affiliate marketing stuff as well, because that's definitely a way to expand your income as an author. But we got a lot of questions and not a lot of time, so let's dive in. Igor, welcome. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
So we were talking about this beforehand. I love this thought of, you said, hey, 500 email subscribers are worth way more than 5,000 social media followers. Why is that true? And why is email marketing so powerful?
You know, I've discovered it the hard way because just like everyone else, I've always wanted to have a big social media following, and I put a lot of work. I would post a lot, and I would really invite people into my life. I would show them photos of my kids, and I'll tell them, oh, we're going here and we're on a vacation there. And then I would post my inspirational thoughts and lessons that I learned and a bunch of stuff, right? And initially, for the first maybe couple of months, I've actually even got a few clients from it because, you know, apparently I was tapping a sort of a warm market, I guess. But what I've continuously ignored is that most of my income still came from my email list. And it all came down to one time I was doing a product launch, my own product. It's a product I've at this point retired. It wasn't a big hit. Apparently people weren't really like much into it as much as I am because of how much content I produce. And you might be into something like this too. Basically, at one point I realized that my speech and my voice weren't really great. I used to have a really thick kind of Russian-Israeli accent going on. My vocabulary wasn't great, but more so my voice was very high pitch and my breathing wasn't on point. So I hired a coach on social dynamics and things like that. And he trained me on how to be a better communicator, not just, you know, speaking on podcasts and whatnot, but just even in general and in everyday life, or when having like a Zoom call with a potential joint venture partner, because people judge you based on your tone, voice, how loud you are, you know, your pauses, whether you make any or not. So I've really got fascinated with that. And I've created a product for my own followers called Voice That Makes Millions. And I partnered up with that exact guy who taught me. And I said, you create the product, I do the market. And I was really excited about that project. And we launched it to my email list. And we must have sold 150 copies, maybe 200 copies, which is not like crazy, but it's still good. But what I've done during that launch is I created two separate tracking links. And one of them went out to my list, my email list. And another one went out to my social media followers. And I deliberately broke down my email list into segments. And I took a segment of about 7,500 subscribers that were on my email list. And the segment, I believe at the time I had something like 75 or 7,900 followers on Facebook. And these were like really warm followers. Like they knew who I was. They knew what I stand for. They knew my message, my USP. They've seen pictures of my kids. You know, like it's just very warm followers. And I launched at the same time for the next 3 days. I was like pushing to these followers, but through separate tracking links. And what I discovered is that all the sales came from email. None came from social media. So even though I was getting clicks and even though I was getting likes on the posts and everything and comments and people like saying, oh, wow, that's amazing, et cetera. Like it seems like they supported the product launch with like positive comments and likes, but they weren't necessarily taking out their credit card to swipe it. Mm-hmm. And it was the email subscribers who did. And then it got me. So at the time, I'm already sold on the fact that email is king, right? And you know, there's lots and lots of data about it, but I really started looking into the data after this product launch, and I've discovered lots of really interesting stuff. First off, the facts became evident to me. Like when you buy something on Amazon, you get an email receipt. When you get a shipping update, it goes to your email. When you book an appointment at the embassy to renew your passport, it goes to your email. When you sign a real estate deal, it goes to your email. When you receive like a Venmo payment from your bank or from whatever, it goes to your email. Like everything goes to your email. I mean, there could be like another copy going to your text message, but most of the time, you know, you're asked for your email. In fact, all the social media platforms ask you for an email to get an account on the platform, right? And so that was like, I see why. And then I started looking into different studies, different material, and I found this interesting study, which I think really sums the whole thing up. It was a marketing study, and they've tested the first check of the day. So the criteria was three groups. First one checks their email first thing in the morning. Second group checks their social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever it is, first thing in the morning. And the third group checks like some sort of news website or something like that, like CNN, you know, first thing in the morning. And they've tracked which group was a more rabid buyer group, like which one supported businesses by actually buying from them. And what they've discovered is that the first check of the day email group was the only one that was like feeling that to support a business, they ought to buy something. Mm. The group that was checking social first thing in the morning, they genuinely felt that by liking a post or commenting on the post or even sharing the post, they've done their part.
Hmm.
And that mindset fundamentally made the difference between a business making money and not making money. Then I started looking into other stuff. I won't bore you with the numbers. Just one study that was done by MailMunch established that an email subscriber buys 9 times more often and spends up to 20 times more money compared to a social media subscriber, which means if you have a shop of some kind and you can choose between two types of customers, an email customer and a social media customer. So an email customer will come into your store, let's say once a day for a month, and they'll buy something like 10 times, 9 to 10 times in that month, and they'll spend $20. And a social media subscriber will frequent your store for 30 days. Like, well, they'll come in once a day, but they'll only buy something one time in that time span, and they'll spend $1.
That's crazy. That's crazy. So I guess, I mean, the evidence is clear, and I've seen this in my own business as well, is email subscribers are worth way more than social media followers. And it's just one of the best, most predictable ways you can grow your business. You can get reviews, you can engage with readers. And so authors, it's going to be, you know, way more beneficial and a way better use of your time to, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, as an author, I need to start doing social media. And if instead you said, hey, how can I start building my email list? You're going to sell more books, grow your business, get more reviews. There's a lot of things that you can do there. It's a much better use of your time. And to your point, Igor, you can't take likes and comments to the bank. It's not going to pay your mortgage. Let's talk about the why and how authors need to build an email list and how they can use an email list to start selling more books, get more reviews, grow in their business, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And just so people know, I'm you know, I have the authority, you know, to talk about this. I am an author myself, right? And I used email to launch this book a couple of years back. You know, I really wanted to practice what I preach because it is a book about list building. And so what I've done, again, just to give you guys an idea about how powerful this is, what I've done is I took a 10,000 person segment of my email list of my most engaged, if you will, followers. And I've just, you know, a few days before the book was going live, I was still getting proofread. We're still like finalizing the cover. I said, hey guys, on Friday, my book is launching on Amazon. And I didn't do the whole pre-sale thing. You know how people publish a book and they can, like, the book isn't published yet, but they're like launching already. So I didn't do that. I should have, but I didn't. I said, my book is launching Friday and I'm going to be doing something special. So keep an eye out. And if you're, and I'm going to be giving away some prizes as well and bonuses. So if you're really like into this, if you really want to get notified an hour ahead of everyone else, here's like a link. You can sign up there like for free email updates. And it's basically like a very simple capture page that basically says, the book is going live on Friday. We're going to open the link, you know, an hour before. If you want to get on the early bird plus get bonuses, give me your email and I'll send you an update. And so out of the 10,000 people, I think about 700, 900 people or so said, yeah, I want to get notified early bird. And then when it launched, I simply put a very simple page, like super simple one pager that had a video of me at the top where I was basically saying, hey guys, my book is launching. I really want for it to become a bestseller, which is why if you get the book, the physical copy of the book, and I was holding the book in my hand, if you get the physical copy of this book, I will give you a bonus. And I don't recall exactly what the bonus was, but it was worth more than the book, which is how, you know, you should structure your bonuses. But I guess that's content for a different episode. And then I said, if you want to get the Kindle version, then I'll give you this bonus. And it was a different bonus. But if you get both the physical version and the Kindle version, I'll give you a bonus package. And that bonus package was actually worth more than the bonus for the physical book and the bonus for the Kindle book. So it was a no-brainer. But I made it a no-brainer. So people buy two copies, both the physical and the Kindle version. And I said, once you buy it, all I need you to do is to send me your email receipt to this address. Just forward it. Just the receipt you got from Amazon. Just, you know, hit forward and send it to our support desk. And we will reply right back with your bonuses, which I believe the bonus was 1 year membership to my mastermind and a few programs that I released in previous years that cost like collectively over a few thousand dollars that I was giving them for free. Again, no brainer for most people, especially if they wanted to get the book, which many of them wanted. And so what this created, I did it for 72 hours. This created a rush of people buying the book, which is what's required for the book to become a bestseller, which it did in three different categories. Like business categories. And what's interesting is that I didn't know this, but I was launching the book the same week that Gary Vee was launching his. So I kept seeing my book and his book on the leaderboard. So it didn't really matter whether you're competing against other like big authors or whatever. You can still do this because of the spike you're creating as a result of launching. And this really, in my opinion, shows the power of a list, because I've done this numerous times with all kinds of projects. I've done this with product launches, and I do this all the time, at least once every few months. I'll do it. Most recently, I did one in August. We had a $2,500 program, which we launched, and we sold 108 units to our list. Again, just drop an email, invite it to a webinar, bam. I've done it with my podcast to get into the new and noteworthy on Apple Podcasts when I launched it. I've done it with my seminar, the one and only seminar, because it's a very stressful thing to do. But the one we did, you know, sold out very fast, again, thanks to the list. So the list is almost like a guarantee, in a sense, that a new project you're going to be launching is going to be successful, because sure, these people know you, like you, trust you, and they're just, you know, they want to buy stuff.
That's great. So let's maybe split the rest of this episode in two parts. Let's talk list building and then let's talk monetization. And so I guess let's just go through some of the basics for people who are new to this. Best email marketing software, especially for people who are just getting started, or authors who are maybe they don't have a list. So they heard what you just said and they're like, hey, that's cool. That'll help launch the book, but I don't have a list yet. What's the best software people can get started with?
Yeah, you know, there's so much software. There's dozens and dozens of them at this point, and I've tested dozens of them. I've got suspended from several of them as well, because as I was growing my business over the years, I was trying all kinds of stuff. I even done some black hat stuff I'm really just not proud of, but I've done it. And the one that I'd recommend to brand new people, like if you're a brand new creator, and you're an author or you're a course creator or anything like that, I'd say ConvertKit is a pretty good piece of software. If you're in e-commerce, meaning you've got like a Shopify store selling widgets or coffee makers or whatever, Klaviyo seems to be the most popular choice. There's also a company called ActiveCampaign, I believe, that's also pretty popular. There's MailChimp, which is like a flagship software, and they've grown really big. That's probably the most popular platform. And finally, there was one more I wanted to mention, and I forgot. Yeah, but ConvertKit is definitely the simplest one. Oh, right. If you're into affiliate marketing, because you mentioned that we will be briefly talking about this, for affiliate marketing as a I'd say GetResponse is the better platform, because I believe MailChimp and other platforms do not allow affiliates.
That's good. Yeah, those are some good ones. All right, now we've chosen a software. What's the fastest path to your first 1,000 subscribers for most people, and especially for authors? How can they use maybe their book to get subscribers and really focus on kind of that first 1,000?
Yeah, I believe a great example of how to get to your first 1,000 subscribers, if you go and study authors like Tim Ferriss or James Clear, they've got this down. What you want is to either give away a free chapter of your book for free, or you know some tip or secret or strategy from your book, package it into something you can give away. Now, this could be a video, this could be a PDF, this could be e-course, meaning it's delivered over emails over a course of like 7, 14, 30 days, etc. But usually for authors, I'd say a free chapter of your book is a great strategy. And what you want to have is just one page. It's called the capture page or squeeze page that has a big headline. It says free chapter or free for a limited time. And then the big promise of what that chapter is going to teach. For example, if you've got a book on productivity, let's say, again, I'm just trying to make this up right now. Let's say you've got a book on productivity for moms, right? Your big claim on the page would be something like how to kick ass, get stuff done, all while, you know, and be home in time for dinner or something like that. I don't know. Basically, whatever the dream outcome for a working mom is, that would be the big promise. And then a little form that says, enter your email here, and a button that says, okay, submit. And once they give you their email, you send them the lead magnet. We call it the lead magnet. And that's the first requirement. The next requirement, of course, you need eyeballs. So you need traffic, you need exposure. And so this is where there's so many schools of thought, including the social media school of thought, where you have to create content to attract people. And what I would say here is this: for each and every market, there's probably the most preferred go-to strategy. But generally speaking, there's the free methods, there's the paid methods. I'm big on the paid methods personally. Free methods, in my opinion, are very time consuming. You also need to have the skill set of content creation. You need the skill set, if you're doing SEO, for example, which I wouldn't consider as like a free method. It's still pretty technical, and you've got to buy tools and you got to buy backlinks. And so it's pretty technical. For me, paid traffic is the way to go because you can buy your way up, so to speak. So it's things like running ads, and ads, ad platforms are Meta, so Facebook, Instagram, Google. So that's AdWords, pay-per-click traffic, and YouTube ads. There's also a strategy that I like to use, which is called email drops, which we can discuss in a bit. There's also native ads, which is ads that go on news websites. So for example, if your book is in some sort of health niche, let's say your book is about prostate issues and you know, how to help men with their prostate issues, then that will actually go really well on news websites because many product owners in that niche will advertise on those sites. And this is I mean, we're not going to get too deep into the paid ads. It's just a tip. You want to go where the other paid advertisers in your niche are. So if everyone in your niche is advertising on Facebook, like, and actually throwing a lot of money at it, that's probably where you want to be.
Cool. That's good.
I hope you're loving this episode so far. So if you're serious about writing and publishing your book, we would love to chat with you and help create a custom plan. All right. So all you need to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, schedule a 45-minute consultation with one of the experts on my team. All right. Let's implement what you're learning in this episode and let's see how we can help with your book. Go to selfpublishing.com/schedule.
I want to key in on two things and then I'll ask a follow-up question. So one is one thing that's worked well for us. I love that you said the bonus chapter and stuff like that. And for those who are watching on the YouTube channel, you can kind of see this. But at the beginning of my book, I give away the audiobook for free. And I give away a video summary, which is really just my best performing webinar for free. And so what we found is what's the last thing that people want to do when they start reading a book is read something else. They probably don't even have time to read this book, right? And so if you can go after them in a different modality, it's interesting. So the audiobook has inherent value. This costs $15 to $20, right? And then the video, it's, video summary, cool. Let me check that out. And that's, again, a high-performing webinar, which also converts them into a paying customer for us at selfpublishing.com. So those two things have worked really well. There's embedding throughout your book of helpful tools of, you know, if I'm talking about how to outline a book, then maybe in that chapter, I'm going to say, hey, we've got an outline template generator. Go here. Right. And so a few things like that. And then one thing I would say is chapter 16 in my book called Published. I talk about specifically building your email list using a book, how I did it and how we recommend people do it. It's with my first book that I didn't even know what an email list was. But then we created one, and the first book brought in 4,000 leads within a handful of months, which was crazy to me. And so we had a problem that not many people have, which is we had an email list and nothing to sell them, versus most people have a product with no email list, right? And so let's maybe talk about that next step. Okay, once I've started building an email list, how do I monetize this list and make it worth it for me as an author and as an entrepreneur?
This is where things get really fun for authors, in my opinion. If you started building a list, now the world is your oyster because you can choose to take your business into any direction. First off, you can choose to publish your next book. You can pre-sell your next book. I know people who like just decided to write the next book, put up a cover on Amazon, listed on Amazon as pre-sale and sold like for $20 per unit. So that's really cool in my opinion. The next thing you can do is take your book and turn it into a course, because a book is a course in a different format, really. You mentioned modalities. This is very, very true. So once people have consumed your book, then you can go and expand on what you taught in the book inside a course. For example, there's a great author out there. One of my favorites for sure. His name is Chris Voss. He wrote Never Split the Difference. So Chris done something really interesting. So he got this book, which is his like flagship, right? Everyone knows him because of the book. But then from the book, they've developed courses. So he teaches negotiations. He's like a former FBI negotiator. And so then what he done after the book, he actually has specific like section on the website that says, okay, you read the book, now what? And he's got, okay, so here's a course on negotiations for realtors, negotiations for corporate CEOs. So they've developed a bunch of courses for different segments of their market, where they expand on the strategies in the book, as well as they run workshops helping people practice what's in the book. Because while people will read your book and they love what you're saying, many of them will not implement. I mean, let's face it, many of them won't even finish it. But those who read the book and get the gist of what you're teaching, they won't implement it on their own. And so they'll come looking for additional help, which comes in the form of more detailed instructions. You mentioned you've got a template generator. So if you can incorporate a software component, that's always welcome. There's like one-on-one work you can do. You can do group coaching, you can do workshops, you know, in person, physically, you can do workshops online over Zoom. Really, it's now going deeper into what you teach and offering different formats for different buckets of your market. And so one, let's say you've decided to do a group workshop on publishing your book, and you're looking for five people that you're going to take from no book, no idea, to an outline, to a draft, to draft plus cover, to like a listing on Amazon and launch. Well, let's say each is 10 grand. And you know, now you have 4,000 people on your list. All you have to do is just put up an offer.
Scrambling for the unmute button. I love that. So let's talk about, so those are ways that you can monetize. And then obviously you can monetize, through follow-up and email. Hey, you love the book. Now announcing the launch of the course, right? And so you can do promotions around that. You can also, I talk about in my book, what we call like the review sweeper, which is a follow-up campaign when people join your list from your book to ask them.
Yeah, we bribe people to post reviews on Amazon.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It can help with reviews. It can help with repurchase. It can help with a bunch of stuff like that. So I guess maybe let's touch on that, because I just want to make sure we're speaking both advanced and beginners here as best as we can. It's a hard thing to do. But so for folks who aren't familiar, there's follow-up campaigns and evergreen, what we would call like an evergreen follow-up campaign. And then there's one-off promotions. Right. You might have different wording for those, but a follow-up campaign is when someone's comes into your ecosystem. So maybe they opted in for something and they go into a 7-day sequence. And then you've got your kind of promotional blasts or emails that you send out. And you might do that once a week, twice a week, more than that. You might, you know, maybe be on a lower cadence than that. But let's break those two pieces apart. What have you found helps? It makes the best follow-up campaign that either leads to reviews or sales? And then flip side, what makes the best one-off email promotions?
Okay. So the evergreen campaigns or the follow-up campaigns, they're pretty, like, it's a set and forget. So you build them once and they do your work for you 24/7. Even if somebody opts in at 3 a.m., they start getting your emails. So for me, what works best is simply starting to pitch your offer right away. So for example, when somebody buys my book, and let's say they buy it through my website and not from Amazon, which is where I would get their email address. In fact, you can go check out my funnel at igorsbook.com to see how I do it. What happens is immediately we'll follow up, we'll ask for a review first, and then we'll also offer them additional material, additional courses, additional stuff that expands on what's in the book. Inside the book itself, there's also a link to a bonus page where I'm pointing them to different webinars that I have. Just like you, you know, we have like our flagship stuff. So, you know, in my case, there's like five of them. So I, you know, if you're looking to solve this problem, go here. If you're looking to solve that problem, like if you want more traffic, here's a webinar you should watch. If you want more, you know, conversion strategies, here's a webinar you should watch. And the other thing we do that isn't exactly email related, but still pretty important in my opinion, if you're going to sell your book, if you're going to self-publish the book, is we use a book funnel where people can buy the book from us. They pay for shipping. We don't charge them for the book, but we charge them for the shipping because shipping is expensive. And once they buy the book, we have order bumps. And we've got upsells too. So order bombs can be other stuff that's helpful for the book. And upsells could be just additional courses and things that we believe somebody who's interested in reading a book like this will be interested in. And that's been pretty important. In fact, what I've found is somebody who buys the book from me, this is surprising, but that's what my numbers show. Somebody who buys a free book, which essentially to say they get the book for free, but pay $10 for shipping if they're in the US or 20 if they're outside the US, they're a more valuable customer than somebody who buys a $500 item right off the bat. It's nuts. It's crazy, but it's true. So for me, as soon as I launched my book funnel, that's been very, very profitable for my business. So yeah, just start promoting something right away. I mean, if you have something to promote, if not, then find affiliate offers, find offers in your niche that kind of complement what you do and promote them.
I love that you talked about book funnels because those work incredibly well for us. I mean, incredibly well. And it's just a great example. I was speaking at a mastermind the other day and I reminded them of a quote that I love or a saying that I love around the concept of, hey, as entrepreneurs or marketers, we get tired of our marketing way before our audience does. Yeah. And so I think a lot of people could hear, oh, free plus shipping book funnel. That's so a decade ago, right? And those things don't still work, right? But in the same way that people have been saying email marketing is going to die for...
Oh, they've been saying it's dead.
Yeah, it's dead.
You know, on one of my webinars, I like to show two images. One is from 2011, Wall Street Journal saying email is dead. And then 2019, Wall Street Journal saying email is dead, is not dead, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's both are incredibly effective and they're really, really powerful. And so the free plus shipping funnel is a great way to get subscribers, but not just to your point, subscribers, it's paying customers. And because they paid and, you know, we know people who pay attention, right? So they're not just on your email list, they're a buyer. And then to your point, it's kind of a wild stat that they would be worth more than someone who paid $500. But on the other hand, it makes sense because there's reciprocity built in because you're giving them something of high value. And then you are now high value because you're an author, right? So you've instantly elevated your status to that customer. So I think on those tokens, it definitely makes sense. Let's a couple final questions here, then we'll wrap up. Once I've got an email list, how often should I email them? And any tips on email writing so that it isn't a burden? I think with a lot of folks in our world, the mistake I'll see people make is they'll build an email list. They might have a few hundred people or a couple thousand people. They're just starting to get traction, and then they stop emailing them. And then 6 months later, they've got a quote unquote dead list and they don't know what to do with it. So how can people avoid that? How often should they email them and some tips on how to
write? It's funny you mentioned that.
I have any question, but
you're like the first person who mentions that out loud. Most people don't talk about it at all. They don't realize that the biggest issue is not building a list, is actually mailing the list. And what I see is that it's the single most challenging thing for people. Whether, I don't know, psychologically, mentally, whatever, they just don't email their list. You're absolutely right. Like, they'll start building it, but they won't send the emails. And I haven't figured out yet what exactly the reason is. Like, maybe they're afraid to alienate people. They're afraid to say something wrong. They're afraid of getting unsubscribed or spam complaints. But I'll share my approach to email marketing. And then, you know, whoever wants to try it out, we'll try it out. I email every day. And that's way more than most people are willing to email. Way more often, if you will. But on some days, I email 5 times a day. Like, if there's a product launch and it's the last day of the product launch, I'll email 5 times. I'll be really hammering that deadline. I'll be really pushing on that scarcity button. To the naysayers will say, well, that's not the way to manage a list. I'll say this. On a recent affiliate competition that I participated in, where I landed third in the competition, I pulled in as many sales on the last day of the competition as I did in the previous 6 days of the promotion. That last day alone just was responsible for almost half the sales. People will sit on their hands. People will wait for the very last second before they act. So you have to push harder towards the end. But yeah, I mail every day. There hasn't been a day in the last 10 years that I haven't sent out an email. And I recommend everyone does the same. Even if you don't pitch anything in your emails, you still want to mail every day so people like don't forget about you. Because if you don't, just like you said, you don't mail the list, 6 months later, you've got a dead list. It's because it's one of those things where you don't use it, you lose it. If they signed up on your list and you didn't start emailing them right away, they forget who you are. And the next time you'll email, they'll be like, what, Igor, who? And they just hit the spam button because they don't even remember getting you on your list.
That's good. So that's why follow-up campaigns are really important when people subscribe. So what about folks who maybe have a smaller list and they're maybe time strapped? What's the minimum that you see that's like, okay, if you just like at a minimum do this so that you can keep that list at least somewhat engaged as you're growing?
At the minimum, try mailing 2-3 times a week. At the very minimum, at least, please. Otherwise, you just lose the list. And as far as for the email writing, not to take too much time, although, I mean, I'm assuming most people listening here are into some form of writing. Yeah. Writing emails is actually like the way I look at it. I wasn't a writer when I started doing email marketing. I got lucky because I wasn't great at writing. English is not my native language. It's actually my third language. So I didn't feel particularly comfortable writing in English. My mentor used to call me Borat because of how I used to speak broken English, you know. What saved me was to realize that great email marketing is template-based, just like great copywriting. In fact, I even go as far as saying just the great books. You know, the Tom Clancy's of the world, the Stephen King's of the world, they write according to a template of some sort. The way the story develops, the way that they develop their characters, it's always about a template. And so I came across several info marketers who were teaching this, and they were like sharing their actual email templates, where you just had to fill in the blanks about the particular product or service you were promoting. And that made me realize that email marketing is not complicated and shouldn't take a lot of time, where you can just fill in the blanks for your particular product, as long as you have a large arsenal of templates. And that was before ChatGPT. Now that we have ChatGPT, we don't even need the templates anymore, because all the knowledge about copy and email marketing has already been dumped into ChatGPT. So the only reason to customize it is if you want it to sound like you, which is very easy to do. But today you can just use ChatGPT and ask it to write those emails for you, and even ask it to write in the voices of the great copywriters. So you can go and you say, hey, write an email about this, 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 and this in the style of the great late Gary Helbert, and it'll just write for you. And then you might need to tweak it a little bit, but it'll take you 5 to 10 minutes to do. So
cool. Just good tips. And I got a lot more questions I can ask you, but we're out of time. So I'll end with this. Let's see, what's your parting piece of advice for the Igor from years ago before you got into email marketing, and maybe the other Igors out there who are like, hey, I know I need to build an email list. What would be your parting piece of advice for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I call him the old Igor. You know, he's overweight and he's frustrated and broke. That's where I started. The advice is just to start building a list, because it took me about 3.5 years before I realized I needed to build one. And I feel that time was wasted because these days, looking back, when I drop an email to my list, I've got people on the list who've been there for like 7 years, 8 years, 5 years. And they've been buying all this time. There's also people who've been on the list for 5 years and haven't bought anything. And then just one particular thing gets them, right? So I'd say it's kind of like planting a tree. When's the best time to plant a tree? 10 years ago. When's the next best time now? I think that's the most important thing. Everything you're doing in your business as an author, it should all lead back to your email list. So if you've got a website, there should be an opt-in form. If you've got a book, put a link in the book for them to go and opt in if you're selling it through Amazon and Barnes & Noble or something. If you're self-publishing, always collect the email address. Like, again, you can go to igorsbook.com and check out my funnel. It's basically one page where I'm selling the book. And when you buy it, I ask you for your email address. That's the whole point. I'm actually, you know, if I run ads to that funnel, I'm losing money up front, but I'm fine with it because I'm building my list. That's what's most important.
It's good. Igor, this has been awesome. Thank you. Where can people go to find out more about you, your courses, your book, or whatever might be most helpful?
Yeah, you can go to igorkafitz.com, just my full name.com. You can also go and check out the book funnel, like I said, which I think is a great thing you can emulate because the book funnel, as we've discussed in this episode, is an underappreciated asset that can make you a lot of money and make you a better author, more influential author, if you will. So it's igorsbook.com, and the book looks like this. It's called The List Building Lifestyle: Confessions of an Email Millionaire. You can go through that funnel. You can see the order bumps I'm using, the upsells I'm using, how I'm collecting email addresses, what do I send in the first follow-up, second follow-up message. This is in general a good practice, like to what Russell Brunson coined as funnel hacking, is to, you know, find someone you can emulate, someone who's like a little bit ahead of where you are today in a certain department, and then go through their stuff like as a customer. And then you realize, oh, I see what they're doing. Oh, they're sending an email this way. Oh, it looks like, you know, 3 emails in 3 days. That's interesting. I wonder why is that. So then you start noticing stuff, as well as take their stuff, you know, and fill in the blanks with your own. That's how I started. Like, I would get Frank Kern's emails and I would be like, I wonder if I can switch that for like this other product. And then I would like rewrite half of it. And I was like, yeah, that fits. So That's how we learn.
Agreed. Well, check it out. Check out the book funnel, igorsbook.com, igorsbook.com. Check it out, y'all. Igor, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you'd be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast, wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help this podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast, wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right. Reviews are super important and help this podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.